JG3, number 11A.
So we can see then that it's all staying within the integrity of the Infinite One, isn't it? Seen in different dimensions, in different forms, it's still remaining the Infinite One. And because the Infinite One principle now wants to talk about its infinite details, it takes on another form. Therefore, as I said, we have another law. And this law, then, is what we call the law, laws on the level of absolute Christian science. So the law is, therefore, set up in this situation. So what would be the factors of the law? Factors involve elements, and therefore, what are the elements of this law? What would be the first element of the law? What's an element? It's constituents of the law. What would be the first element of the law? That's just obvious. Principle. All right, you got element one, principle. And a law is always based on relationships. And Richard, those relationships in a law are always, do they come and go? Can they be this way one day and this way the next day? No, invariable, because we can depend on the law, can't we? So a definition of law, as we learned in our compendium work in culturing the concept building with the ideas undermine, a law means the invariable relationship of phenomenon. That's right. So principle one factor, relationship the second factor, and it's always invariable, Richard said, and another factor there would be ideas. So thank you. So we are working with three factors of the law: principle and its relationship to principle, and it's a relationship that never varies. We saw that, didn't we? All right. So therefore, we'll take a closer look at the law, and we then want to turn to page 83 in the study aid. And there we see quite nicely there's a law of the word on the level of absolute Christian science and the law of the Christ on the level of absolute Christian science. Now, to begin with that law of the word, we see then that it's called, remember now, the whole law of the level of absolute Christian science is law of spontaneity, okay? And therefore, that's behind the whole level, isn't it? Everything happens spontaneously, instantaneously, and immediately out of divine origin. And so now we see on the law of the word, on the level of absolute Christian science, that law of spontaneity appears as the law of divine impulsion, and or we could call it the law of divine success mechanism, which comes spontaneously forth from its divine origin. And we see here that there's a principle with an ellipse around it. And for the Christ, the law of the Christ on the level of absolute Christian science, that law of spontaneity appears as a law of individualization, or you could call it the law of specification. And now for the Christ, there is an ellipse around principle. There's an ellipse around this arrow. Okay? And then we see that if we turn to the next page, 84, we again have the law on the level of absolute Christian science under the umbrella of the law of spontaneity. This is the law of Christianity on the level of absolute Christian science. Under the umbrella of the law of spontaneity, we have the law of eternalization or the law of self-maintenance. And we say, gee, now ideas have the ellipse around them. Then we see on the same page, 84, the law of science on the level of absolute Christian science, knowing that that whole law of spontaneity is the level law. And now we have the law of pre-stabilized perfection, or the law of pre-established harmony. And now we say, oh, the arrows are under the ellipse. So we say, well, that we're thinking to ourselves and we're asking ourselves questions. I wonder why these ellipses change from the Word to the Christ, to Christianity and science. Why is there this different phenomenon? So we'll begin now with the one here of the Word. Why would we think that the ellipse is around principle at the point of the Word on the level of absolute Christian science? Why isn't it around the arrow? Or why is it around the grouping of arrows? All right, it's the important point. And what's the important point? All right, we're talking about principle as the one factor, aren't we? And what is it that lets us talk about the nature of God, Charlie? What category? The nature. The Word. All right, so because we're on at the standpoint of the Word is that principle, you see... I see it's always principle. Always go to categories, and the answers always by what we already know, that we don't have to pull these answers out of the blue, that in science reasoning is always from top down. So for any answers, you always go to the information we have. And the information is that we're talking about principle. Principle is the logos. Principle is the Word. And therefore, the principle on the level of science itself, which is the logos, the same principle on the level of divine science, is the same principle on the level of absolute Christian science, is the same principle on the level of Christian science, because the whole subject's God, the Word, the logos. That is undivided, always the whole. So the Word, the principle is the Word or the Logos through all of the levels. The accentuation was always the first factor on the law of science itself was principle. The second is its own infinite. The third was principle. Principle was being its own infinite principle itself on science itself. On divine science, the main point is principle. The Logos is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. So principle is operating principle. But the accent is on principle, the logos. And then we see that principle is there for the origin, the source, the logos. We never lose that when we come to absolute Christian science. That same principle is at work. It's the Word, isn't it? It's the logos. It's the first factor. And it will be so also on the level of Christian science. Can we see? So we have information to answer the question I asked by going back to the categories and reasoning top down, not trying to remember what we memorized somewhere from a book. So it makes it easy for us to just go back to the categories and say, okay, now the first category is that Word, and therefore it's under consideration, and therefore that's why it's circled. So we're going to discuss that law of the Word to begin with. So therefore, that law, that infinite one principle on the level of science itself, which appears as the main point on the level of divine science, which appears at the main point on the level of absolute Christian science, that principle, therefore, takes on what form on the level of absolute Christian science? On the level of science itself, the form principle took was principle being its own infinite principle. It was a concession for us to say mind was being its own infinite mind, because mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in their wholeness and gestalt are actually the tonality of divine science. Because when we come into the realm of science itself, all seven blend into the realm of to the infinite principle. The infinite principle includes them all. So therefore, the level of science itself is principle itself that includes them all. On the level of divine science, that a principle appears as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. On the level of absolute Christian science, according to what has to happen there, that a principle appears as? Yeah. in relationship to its ideas, yes? And what is its form that it has when it's in relationship to its ideas? It's right, but is it still, would we say, what form does principle take when it's in relationship to its ideas on this level? Yeah, but principle, its nature, life, truth, and love. See, it takes on now the form of life, truth, and love. You see? Can you see? So therefore, we are dealing on this whole level of that principle's form as life, truth, and love, because it takes on another form, because it's dealing with another phenomenon. Can we see what it means to think in a science? And not just to go listen to nice stories about the subject that we love, huh? But they are stories. And again, I only say this for myself, not for anything to the class at all. It's only that we just have to get out of religion and into science. And I'm just saying this because I love it for myself. An attitude that we have to get out of religion into a science. And there's such a difference between going to a class and listen to nice stories. These are wonderful stories we can tell about the model of being and all its infinite ramifications. Wonderful stories we can tell about the model of being and its relationship to the Bible, and what model being and its relationship to the textbook. The model of being in relationship to itself and the universe. But we got to realize together that we're listening to a storyteller. Our teachers are just storytellers. Unless we take it as a science. And we don't want to be told nice stories. It won't survive, we know, if it continues to be storytelling. Yes, through the ages, stories were passed on from one generation to another, but that's gone. That went out with the tribal sense of the 3,000-year period storytelling. And it was when we went from the 3rd until the 4,000-year period of King David that we start coming out from a principle that could be understood in its categories. And Jesus says, and I represent that, those categories. And he said, but even greater things than these, he says, there's going to be a little book that's going to teach you the categories. And you're going to do greater things. You're going to understand all these categories. And there's science and system. He had great hope that we would be a scientist because it would teach us the spirit of truth. So really the age has come to where we cannot listen to nice stories anymore. I guess we feel that, don't we? I think that was one of the biggest things I felt about coming this year to the class was hopefully through the method of teaching the class and through the seminar, drilling, just the method of Max. That was his naturally Socratic method of, as we know, coming not to inspire but to teach method. And we know his saying, it'll get lost. Gosh, it's so close to getting lost. It's something that, what are we going to do about it? I think that the little booklet he gives out there on taking responsibility for the idea, ask not what the idea can do for us, but what we can do for the idea. I understand that there's the attitude, and I've heard it before, that they say that Americans are always those who are looking for the next newest cake. And they're not so interested in culturing the system, but they're chasing those who have the newest cake and then listening to the new cake of revelation. It could be true. You know, we're ignorant of the air is always ignorant of itself. It could be true. Back in the early times, we were always accused of being too materialistic. In the 50s. We're always accused of everything, you know, and yet they also look to America for great promise, world leaders. But, gosh, is it true that we're chasing somebody who has the next cake of vision and then listening to the story of the next cake of vision? I hope not. I include myself in the same thing. I'm in it with you. I just ask it amongst us as friends. Is it true? So the only way we can say to ourselves, no, it isn't true, is by our really being faithful to what Max hoped would happen to us, is that we would be able to be the scientist and keep the acculturing of categories. And so therefore, We can see that according to the levels of science itself, the phenomena there is principle, and that it's the phenomena of principle is there because the tonality of the law of that level is that law of infinite being. It's that law of holistic, where the infinite one cannot be divided, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, that is spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. There the phenomena is just the plain principle, nothing else, just principle. In its whole gestalt, being its own infinite principle. And again, the concession was to its nature as the seven. But on the divine science level, it's dealing with another phenomenon of principle and its relationship to the universe. So principle takes on the phenomena of its nature, its whole nature. Universe demands the whole nature of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That principle constitutes the universe. Now we want to see that form principle takes in relationship to its calculus of ideas. What form of the of principle allows to talk about calculation? Mind, spirit, soul? We could say, why isn't it mind, spirit, and soul in combination on Absolute Christian Science? It's part of principle. Why don't we have as the word on Absolute Christian Science, mind, spirit, and soul? And then on the Christ in Absolute Christian Science, soul, spirit, mind. And then Christianity in Absolute Christian Science, mind and soul. And then a science in Absolute Christian Science, perhaps spirit and soul. Why is there this combination of life, truth, and love? See the questions we ask? We don't just accept it. This will teach us the category. Suddenly we were faced with life, truth, and love as a phenomena of the principle here. And either we just say, oh, that's right, and we're going to memorize it, or we ask why. And Dave, why isn't it a combination of mind, spirit, and soul?
We haven't reached the impact on the negative yet.
All right, which we know mind, spirit, and soul does, but why life, truth, and love?
Well, life, truth, and love is all positive.
It's positive.
Detail. It's coming into details.
It's coming into details.
And then, but mind, spirit, soul shows, without going down to that level, shows the impact on the problem.
All right, on the root of the problem. So what about that sevenfold principle that allows mind, spirit, and soul to do that, and life, truth, and love to do the other? What is mind, spirit, and soul? Life, truth, and love, as we saw when we worked with the compendium on principle, and we concept build, tonality build, consciousness build, and being build with all the ideas under principle. What did we learn there about mind, spirit, and soul, and life, truth, and love? What is mind, spirit, and soul, Ellen?
Mind, spirit, and soul would be the nature.
All right, the nature, that's right.
And love would be the essence.
Okay, and therefore mind, spirit, another way of saying that mind, spirit, and soul is the nature or the identity principle, isn't it? And life, truth, and love as essence is the operation of it, the expression of it, the living principle of it, isn't it? It's the life principle. That principle lives, doesn't it? As the truth and as a fact. Now, when we're dealing with a calculus of ideas, do we want to tell the nature of that calculus of ideas? But if it's a calculus of ideas, it's doing what? It's operating as a calculus. What lets us give the living sense of behind the calculus? What kind of power do we need behind the calculus? An identity? It has its identity. What does it need? Life. It needs the life to get the calculus going. It needs the inner logic to get the calculus going. It needs the inner goal directedness to get the calculus going. The calculus won't calculate if it just says, here I am, mind, spirit, soul. Those ideas would just say, I'm here, and my nature, mind, spirit, and soul. Does that give spontaneity, the feeling of spontaneous, and then the law of the word as that law of divine impulsion? And then the Christ, the law of specification. And then Christianity, the law of individual maintenance. And science, the law of pre-established perfection. By saying, here I am, it doesn't, does it? Do you see? And that life, truth, and love gives the life power behind the calculus. It gives the inner acceleration behind the calculus. It gives the logicity behind the calculus. It gives the goal directedness behind the calculus. It's the power that is moving the calculus. You see why it appears there? And Dave so rightly said that mind, spirit, and soul appears on Christian Science level because it's the identity. And it has to set the fact that we're seeing the impact on the belief that the original pattern of God, that matrix of infinity, isn't seen correctly. It's been reversed, hasn't it? And therefore the identity comes in of mind, spirit, and soul that says, all right, stop seeing that pattern from mind's many, from your own little virtual world. See that pattern from the standpoint of the divine mind. Stop seeing that pattern from the belief of mind and matter, good and evil, right and wrong. See the pattern from the purity of spirit. Stop seeing the pattern of mind in a matter body with the egos. See that pattern from the standpoint of the one identity soul. It sets the standpoint correct, and it needs to be because it's a crisis of perception that needs to be dealt with. So on the level of Christian Science, mind, spirit, soul come in to deal with the crisis of perception. They're predominant, aren't they? So we can see that this, through logical reasoning, and with the time for thinkers have come along, logical reasoning and categories according to a truth is only a truth, and a scientific truth when seen within its context, it's system intrinsic and the system answers it. So we can see then here on the level of absolute Christian Science, the accentuation is on principle, the word, and the form principle takes on this level is life, truth, and love. So therefore that's why this looks like the law of life, truth, and love, because that word is taking the form that's going to kick the ideas into being. First, when principle God on the level of science itself restructures itself, that's where the idea comes forth. It comes forth out of the matrix of infinity, on divine science, out of the whole of mind, through the whole of mind, outcome as the whole of mind, for the glory of it, the whole of mind, same with all the synonymous terms, out of all the synonymous terms, through the synonymous terms, the outcome that is as the synonymous terms, for the glory of the synonymous terms, comes this idea out through a fourfold process, and now that idea comes forth through the divine impulsion of life, doesn't it? As a fact truth, already established. Can we hear? And so therefore, that idea has to be kicked forward by the creative impulsion of life. It has to be right when it comes forth. And it has to be fit perfect within the system it's coming forth from. So here the invariable would be the synonyms of life, truth, and love, but the variations are the ideas. Would it be right under life on Absolute Christian Science to use their tone of life there for that one life is the medicine of mind or something, huh? No, you can see that life isn't the medicine of the situation. Or we could say life isn't, what are the nice tones that life, mind is life isn't the medicine. We could say at this point here, overcomes death. Would that be a right tone for life? No. Would renew be the tone? Or uplifts be the tone? Or laying down the mortal? You can see those are tones of life, but they're not, we sure wouldn't like to know that now, that the idea comes forth to in order to lay down the mortal, or in order to make us not mournful, or more merciful. It comes forth, life comes forth, first of all, with a creative urge, doesn't it? It comes forth as a divine impulsion and truth. There, would any idea under truth be okay as we see it? We know now, no. And so we test ourselves as we know then the different ways truth structures itself on the levels and on absolute Christian science. Would it be right here to say, for example, that that impulsion of life comes forth to judge right from wrong? It isn't, it's truth, but it isn't adapted, is it? So you can see that all the ideas have a tone of the word, impulsion forward, and the tone of absolute Christian science. For what ideas are used as the word at the point of life at absolute Christian science, for truth at the point of truth at absolute Christian science, and for love at the point of love at absolute Christian science. It's an exact science. And it has to be because it's showing laws. So therefore we can see, well, gee, that's wonderful to know in practice that that infinite one principle itself that is presenting our identity, that we are that one infinite individuality of that principle, that our individuality is seen on the level of science itself, embedded within the principle itself. Principle always includes its idea. And if we're struggling with our life in some way, it's stagnant, it doesn't go forward. We ask ourselves, will I succeed? Will I make it? Will I be a success? And always wondering this, we say, if we go back to what we know about the laws, we go back up to the science itself level and we say, gee, our life is included within the infinite womb of principle itself.